Councilman Caleb Collier said.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire.
Hello, Christian Patriots. Welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I am Pastor Gabe Blomgren, and we have a special show today. We have a wonderful guest. Doug Billings of the Right Side Podcast is with us today. He is an enigmatic speaker. We've seen him at the Reawaken America Tour. But before we introduce him and before we start talking about some of the most important issues going on right now before the 2024 election, just want to highlight once again to all of our listeners a real wake-up call. Go to our website, check us out, churchandstate.media. And right now, our tech is going to highlight one of these things, okay? I have in my hand right now, it varies. Those of you who can get in right now, you can call Andrew Sorcini and his team at Beverly Hills Precious Metals. This is right here I've got right now. It's a United States of America, 1 troy ounce of fine silver, okay? This right here is something that you can hold. I know every one of you need to diversify, and some of you have been by your financial advisors diversified into paper silver, which is going to be useless. And we really want to encourage you, along with General Flynn, along with Clay Clark, along with a lot of wise people, prudent people, we want to protect your money. We don't want to take your money. We want to protect your money. Andrew Sorcini and his team have the ability to help you take your hard-earned Roth IRA, convert some of it into a precious metals account. You will not be taxed on. You will not lose any of your hard-earned retirement. But here's the thing. You have to take about 20% of your net earnings, everything that you own on the planet Earth, set that aside in physical silver or gold. Here's why. We're seeing people like Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, say things like the S&P is going to dip by as much as 70%. I don't necessarily trust all the financial advisors, but people like Rich Dad Poor Dad, who've been on Clay Clark's show, very, very astute, very, very rich, they are seeing what people would call black swan events on the impending doom forecast. I don't want to be into the world. I don't want to be doom and gloom, because we know as Christians, the gospel rolls on. God always protects his flock. Whether we're being fed to lions or burned at the stake, we are always protected and always provided for. But I want to encourage you, those of you who have the ability to do it, call these guys, Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Check them out, BH-PM. Check them out. All right. So here's the thing. Every one of you who bought tickets to see the Reawaken America Tour in Post Falls, Idaho, you were blessed by some of the most amazing speakers. Amanda Grace, one of our favorites, General Flynn, Eric Trump was one of the speakers. And also this man who I believe to be the next Rush Limbaugh. And I say that very, very, because I love Rush. I love what he represented to the American people. This is, to me, a Christian strong version in the same vein. And as you hear him today, I want everyone to please check him out. Go listen to his podcast. You can find them anywhere. He is well-spoken, and I just want to tell everyone, please check him out today. So with that, I introduce Doug Billings. Welcome to the Church and State Show.
Gabe, it's good to be with you again. Good to see you. Thanks to you and your team for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you for being here. You're all the way in the middle of Kansas City, smack dab, in the home city where I actually competed on American Ninja Warrior. So I that's a special city to me.
Hey, well, you're right. We're still just coming down from the high of the Super Bowl and the Kansas City Chiefs around here. So it was an exciting time. I know that doesn't play well across the country, but a lot of people hating the Chiefs these days.
No.
Because they're doing so well.
I love Mahomes.
Well, yeah. You got to, I mean, the athleticism of Mahomes, you've got to.
But I got to tell you, is it boring now after this many wins and they're expecting a three-peat? It's probably getting old having such a winning city.
I tell you, I've grown up as a Chiefs fan, and I can remember those years where, you know, it took us 50 years to get back to the Super. We were in Super Bowl 1 and 2. Or 1 and 4 rather. We lost 1 to the Green Bay Packers, and we beat the Minnesota Vikings in Super Bowl 4, and it took us 50 years to get back. So we're still gobbling it up. And now, of course, we'd like to see if we can do it 3 times in a row. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have okay. Totally. Are you, here's a conspiracy theory. Like, we got to go out there on this. Yeah. Is Travis Kelce actually in love with Miss Swift? If, and the second question is, are you a Swiftie, Doug?
I don't, if I had a teenage daughter, I might well be. I don't. I have two boys, and I know that there's a lot of stuff out there, Gabe. There's a lot of kooky stuff out there. People put all sorts of stuff. I mean, I've seen everything from Satanism to witchcraft to whatever with regards to Taylor, and then she and Travis are, you know, it's all set up. And I think there are a couple, I think, that they really do like each other. I think Travis, when she came to Kansas City, I did not go to the concert, but she came to Arrowhead Stadium, and he was sending out texts trying to get to meet her. And so from at least, you know, from my perspective, it seems like it was pretty genuine and organic. And it's you know, he's just a guy that was trying to get a hold of a girl, and then they met, and there it goes. And so it caught on. So that's all. I did rent the Eros tour on Netflix to see what all the hubbub was about, all of this conjecture and speculation. And look, I didn't find anything that's going to shatter my faith in that thing.
So I actually got to see in Nashville, they have this little diner. I think it's called the Blue Note or something like that. So there's a diner, and I'm talking, it's a hole in the wall, but everyone who's ever made it big in the music industry out of Nashville has played there. And she actually played there. I actually saw footage of it. She can play. She's an actual country artist. Like, I know everyone is offended at her, you know, stardom and everything. And it is kind of annoying, the whole pop star thing. But here's the thing. I'm a worship leader. I play the acoustic guitar. She plays the acoustic way better than I do. It's unbelievable how much talent she has. But I just think, I like your grounded answer. We're a little bit out there sometimes, Doug. We're a little bit too far out into the paranormal. So that just gives you like a little bit, like if those of you who are sick of talking about conspiracy theories with Caleb and I, you're going to get a little bit more grounded conversation with Doug. So that's just a highlight.
I don't disrespect anybody's opinion. Everybody has them. I would just say what I saw in that concert that I watched, I saw theatrics and I saw good music. And she certainly, if for all those songs that she writes, and I will say this, because there's a certain segment of our movement out there that says she's owned and she's operated by Soros. I can tell you emphatically, that's not true. In fact, Soros bought her music catalog against her permission. She's highly pissed off at George Soros, I'll tell you that. And she's re-recording her music precisely so he cannot control what she does with her own music. So, and she may be a raging liberal, fine. I know she endorsed Biden in 2020. She has not endorsed him as of yet. But, you know, we all know this. We all know that Hollywood and entertainment is jam-packed, filled with liberals. So, to say that she's a witch or a demon, you know, worshiper and all this, I don't see any evidence. I see snakes on the stage, which represent the people that have, you know, betrayed her, stabbed her in the back, and that's supposed to represent, and it's not supposed to represent Satan. So I see all of these people on our side saying all these things. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not going to call anybody a kook for saying, I mean, I understand, but for me, I don't go down those roads. It doesn't affect me.
We have way more overt things than like Travis Scott, the former boyfriend of one of the Kardashians or whatever. And you know what, to me, it makes us look a little crazy when we go out there and say things like there's some weird stuff, but I agree with you. So you and I were talking offline, and we were talking about this word that's just bouncing around all over the etherwebs, interwebs. It's called the black swan. And those in science and biology thought for a very long time that the actual black swan did not exist. It was an animal that could not be found, kind of like the unicorn. If it didn't exist, one podcaster believes that in 1968, the year Kennedy died, his brother died, Martin Luther King died, the vice president who was probably supposed to, Lyndon Baines, didn't even run. Okay, it would be essentially like Joe passing away and Kamala not running. All those things happening in that year, that was one of the most heated black swan events that we've ever had in history in a single year. They're saying, forecasting, a lot of people are saying 2024 is going to be one of those years. Now we're almost to March. Not a whole lot has happened. We have everything kind of going the same, but the things that you and I were kind of offline talking about was immigration, will Biden be replaced, Trump's campaign, and of course his insane legal costs and all the money he's lost. But he's also selling shoes, which is great. I want to get a pair. I would like to get a pair for you. You would look good in his shoes.
Thank you.
If I find a pair.
Might match the mic.
And then Mitch McConnell, who's literally spacing out on the mic. Now he's not the speaker. Yeah. But what's interesting is any one of the topics are a huge highlight. Where do you want to go with this? What are you feeling?
Well, I mean, I think all of that is relevant because we're going through so much of that right now. I think, Gabe, the thing for me is that when we look at all of this, we have to, I think, begin with looking at the transition the Democratic Party has gone through, certainly since Obama was president, but even now, even more so since, I call him Administrator Biden. I still haven't gotten my heart and head wrapped around calling the guy president.
I don't use the P word when I talk about him.
I always refer to him as Administrator Biden.
The commander
in
sleep.
Administrator Biden comes in and everything is accelerated. I will say this for the sake of your audience and just for the sake of time. I don't believe the Democratic Party and the elected class exists anymore, especially in Washington, D.C. I think they've combined elements of communism and socialism together, and they have become what I call the Commu-Socialist Party. And they are not a pro-America political party. Doug, how can you say this? What do you mean by that? Well, look, evidence of the obvious is sufficient. Just look at what they're doing. You can look at any one of their agenda items. The border and immigration are clearly the number one item that Americans are worried about now, but you can look at their sexuality, their stance on the LGBTQ kook community and transgenderism, transhumanism. You can look at energy. We were energy independent under Trump. We're not anymore. Since day one, they have begun to cascade upon us this purposeful chaos. It is not an accident. They want to, they've eliminated God, not only from their platform, but they're doing everything they can to eliminate God from society. Directly opposed, I might add, to every one of the founding fathers' intents for this republic. And speaking of republics, which we are, constitutional republic, one of the earmarks, you and your audience, be careful when you hear anybody, whether it's a celebrity on social media or whether it's a member of the elected class, they will continually refuse to say the word republic. They will say,
yes.
Church and state, that podcast, have you seen that? Well, Gabe and Caleb, they're a threat to our democracy. Uh-huh. That's what they'll say. Democracy. We are not a democracy. The founding fathers had purposeful, passionate, and stringent debates about not making America a democracy. And yet they don't say the word republic, probably because it's the root word of republic and Republican, I should say. But they don't do this. And these are telltale signs about how they want to deconstruct what the founders have left us. So with Black Swan and all of the things that these events, whether it's the immigration, whether it's the border, Biden, who's going to replace him? Is he going to be replaced? Is he going to step down? Let's talk about all of it because I think they're important issues. I think the immigration issue, you know, I continually think and believe that they're letting these people in so that they become the new electoral base of this Commu-Socialist Party. Hey, come on over. We're going to give you free health care, free living condition. We're going to give you this box of ballots. By the way, fill these out and give them to the guy in the white van over there, and we'll take care of you. I mean, it's all of that, Gabe, blended into one. So I think we can talk about all of that.
Okay, but before we go there, I want to say thank you for recognizing something that drives me insane, the word democracy being steamrolled over us like it's some type of like CIA project called, you know, we've seen the media have the mockingbird, you know, where every single teleprompter says the exact same thing. You can hear every single, you know, right now, the telltale word is democracy, democracy, democracy. That threat to democracy, Christian nationalism, a threat to democracy. The reality is Christian nationalism is a threat to democracy. The funny thing is democracy does not work when you are, well, it doesn't matter what country you're from, if you're a Christian nationalist, democracy is just basically a debate of how can we take your things? How can we steal your liberty? And then of course, you know, that was not the design of our forefathers. So thank you for bringing that up. We talk a lot about that. Here's one thing I wanted to ask you, because you highlighted on this. There's an article here I'm going to have my tech put up. It says Christianity is incompatible with the Democratic Party. This is an article that was written 3 days ago from the Washington Examiner. I'm very actually proud of this author, because he's finally come out and said, because of its chosen narcissism as its foundation for faith, the Democratic Party has cast out whatever Christian elements it may have once had. You know, that is something that may cause some Christians to bristle up, especially born-again Christians, to call their brother a non-Christian because of their beliefs politically. But I want to push back on that a little bit. Because now the fundamental platform beliefs of the Democratic Party are so similar to the Communist Manifesto and the Communist Platform Party. You know, it's literally a hate for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's weird how they love an immigrant, but they hate newborn babies. Or they'll say, this is the quote that I actually heard from somebody recently. She was cleaning the teeth. This is just a good old fashioned American woman. She was cleaning the teeth. She's a dental hygienist, and she said she was having a conversation with a leftist, didn't really tell the leftist where her platform was, didn't say anything, but they were talking about fentanyl and the fentanyl crisis. And this leftist said, the good thing about this fentanyl crisis is it's killing off the weak. And she said she almost started crying, because this is such a hate for humanity. It's weird how we love the immigrant as a leftist. I'm super confused how we love the leftist, let them drown in the river because they're illegally immigrating in. But then we want people to die from fentanyl. So can you be a Christian and be a Democrat? That's my question to you.
No, the short answer is no, absolutely not. You cannot. I'm glad that you brought this up too, because I have a good friend. I think you and I know you met him in Post Falls, Idaho, Father Jim Altman.
Yes, I love Father Altman.
Yeah, Father Altman is, I think he was the first one to coin the term, you can't be a Democrat and a Christian. And he speaks often about that very topic. You cannot be. Folks, look, there is, and I'm a person of faith. My expression of faith is done through the Catholic Church, okay? There are a lot of people out there that hate Catholics. There are a lot of people that hate Father Altman. There's a lot of people out there that hate other denominations. We finally come together as Christians to recognize that the tenets of Christianity, your belief in Jesus Christ, cannot be upheld if you're teaching children that the way to find happiness in this life, if you feel as if you're gender misappropriated, is to mutilate your genitalia. That is absolutely crazy. And there's no God in any of that. There is no Jesus in any of that. God has provided a perfect, enlightened pathway to find incredible amounts of wonder, joy, and meaning in this life, so much so that you can't even imagine it. Through his tenets, through his life, through his work and his ministry, all you have to do is search it out. And I'm telling you, when you surrender yourself to that truth, the amounts of wonder, joy, and meaning that you find in life are astronomical. And they're incredibly important. That's the message that we need to get out. And people who are caught up in this, I mean, look, abortion, really? Up until the time of birth, let's kill this baby, insert the knife, snip its spinal cord, and pull it out of its mother. You show me where God is part of that. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian. It is impossible. And then, do I sound passionate enough about that?
You do. I thank you. Thank you for standing on that, because it's really hard. You know, people say, hey, when we castigate, when we point fingers, there's, you know, one pointed back at us. I get it. But the thing is, we have to open the eyes of the Democratic Party, because it's not the same party that my great grandfather or grandfather was voting from. I had a grandfather who voted for JFK. It's not the same party. The Republican Party is probably now closer to the 60s Democratic Party we've slid so far. One thing I wanted to point out too is, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of Baphomet. Baphomet is this kind of he/she representative. He's got, no offense, he's got breasts, and then he's got a beard, and then he's just this goat. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Baphomet looks an awful lot like what shows up on, like, you know, Jerry Springer or Dr. Phil when they highlight, you know, transgender people who come on the show. They look a lot like Baphomet. They look a lot like these very confused. What is it? Is it a man? Is it a female? So to me, when they try to embrace Christianity, I feel like it's completely fabricated. And I actually appreciate it when the Satanic Church has come out now, say, and they've dug this, is very interesting. The Satanic Church has said, we want to protect our abortion rights because it is one of our vestiges, it's one of our sacraments, like in the Catholic faith. Yeah. The Satanic Church has actually said it is essentially their communion. So it is a protected right to take. So to me, the gloves are off. They're saying, hey, we are Satanists. Point in fact, right. we do not hide this anymore. And I think that the Democratic Party needs to get closer to be bearing its true fangs. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that well met and well said. Yes, and I have seen those images, and I think you're spot on, right? Your analysis is a good one. Of course, there is hope in all of this. You know, we as conservatives, I can sit here and talk with you about how I think the LGBTQ kook community is a coalition of immorality. I can tell you how I think the Democratic Party, the Commune Socialist Party, is a coalition of immorality. And I can give you facts and figures and evidence to support all of that. I want to make a clear distinction, though. What we as conservatives do is we do not hate people. Mm-hmm. These people that are caught up in all of this nonsense, these people that are going through the transgender reassignment procedures and all of that. Look, we don't hate the people. We're trying to save and give people real hope. We as conservatives approach life differently. There's just no doubt about it. We believe that our rights come from God. We believe that our founding documents in this republic are inspired by God and written by men. All of our rights come from God. We believe, I think that if we look at our conservatism, and if we want to convert people to conservatism, we have to stop beating people over the head with our attitudes and our belief. We love them into it, and we convert them into it because they can see and they can witness our joy. It's part of what I joke about when I say conservatives are much more attractive than liberals. And although it's partly in jest, I'm also partly serious about that. And I'm not talking about physical beauty. I'm talking about this
joy.
Aura of joy that surrounds us in everything that we do. And so I would dare to say this, conservatism is approaching life with sacramental attributes. We look at life differently. We look at life in our politics as a sacramental approach about how we thank God. How do we give back to God for what he has given to us? And in whatever way, some people like us start a show because we're cast out of corporate America or whatever. Some people are in corporate America and they can only influence their only circle of friends, and that's fine. That's what we're all called to do. But there's a lot of people that are feeling a tap on the shoulder of God himself, asking them, pleading with them to get involved in the local level politics to change the republic back to the divine intent of God himself and the founding fathers. And I will go to my grave believing that you and I are living in a time where we're witnessing the beginnings of the greatest reawakening to the divine providence of God that has ever been witnessed before in this republic. And I mean, even during the time of the founding fathers.
I just have to agree with applause. Standing if I could. There is no doubt in my mind, just any listener who's hearing this right now, Doug is the type of guy, you're going to hear this. Those of you who've been listening to Fox News, you know, did you know that the average age right now, they've just pulled the average age of a Fox listener who is tuning in to commercial filled rhetoric. The average age is 68 years old. Okay, the life expectancy for a human now in the United States is 77 to 78. So there's roughly a decade left for Fox News, and then it's going to be gone. Those of you who are still clinging on to that place of, I don't know what to say. Please listen to people like Doug Billings. Another thing about listening to Alex Jones, Alex isn't going to speak life about somebody who's transgender. They're not going to speak life. You know, Sean Hannity is not going to speak life. This is the type of person you are, and I just really want to applaud that for you to see that this is a time of harvest. You know, that there's a harvest of souls. God, you know, we can't. A lot of people try to say all of us Christian nationalists are trying to the seven mountain mandate control when Jesus comes back, and we can't allow Jesus to come back until we set up every single financial hill. And Jesus can come back whenever, but I do know this, in the last days, there's going to be a final great awakening And that's what I'm talking about, that there is hope. And to me, our faces should express joy. Sometimes I'm going to say, Doug, I'm going to be devil's advocate. Every once in a while, you'll come across conservative, good old boy conservative, and their face does not look happy. They have RBF, okay? Mrs. Jones has RBF, okay? And we got to tell our faces that Jesus is on the throne, amen?
Amen, amen. Yeah, and you're right. Look, we're only human. We can given what we're bombarded with every single day, it's no wonder that we're all not in a basket of just utter depression because what we're seeing is nothing that would lead us to any sense of wonder, joy, and meaning or happiness or hope or whatever. Gabe, I just know it. You, your audience, hopefully me and mine, we're part of the remnant, and the remnant is growing, and it's getting bigger and more powerful by the day. We look at the numbers that are going away from the Democratic Party. I read an article yesterday, and it surprised the heck out of me. Generation Z, people in their 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, I think that's the right category for Generation Z, young people, they are going towards the Republican Party and specifically Donald Trump in record numbers.
Yeah.
Record numbers. Black men are going towards President Trump in record numbers. Hispanics, Asians, all of them. And it's not... clearly, there are pieces of President Trump's personality that don't align with everybody. I get that. I understand it. But those numbers are going over precisely because of what we're talking about. The value, the sanctity of life, even if they don't articulate it as such, what they're thinking is, look, I value wonder, joy, and meaning in my life. I value God. I value happiness. I want to value and see hope in my life, not this cascade of chaos that's been thrust upon us by this Commune Socialist Party. And whether or not they say those exact words doesn't matter. The important part is they're leaving the Democrat Commune Socialist Party in record numbers precisely because of the chaos that they've thrust upon us. And we need to see the hope in that. And I'll just say this also. The Commune Socialist Party, the John and Jane Does on the streets of America, who are Democrat, right? They've done something really well for 126 years, and that is they've gotten involved in their local level of government.
Right.
And we as conservatives have not. Mm-hmm. We have not done a good job. They have a 126-year head start on us. We've done some great things as conservatives. We've gone to great wars. We've won them. We've come back. We've raised families with traditional American Christian values. And by the way, those two are synonymous. Traditional American values is the same thing as traditional Christian values. I'll just say that. There's no distinction between the two. So we've raised families in that way. And I saw a good post the other day, a meme actually from, it was a quote from Mother Teresa who said, do you want to change the world? Then go home and love your family.
Wow.
And there's such power to that. And that's where we are as conservatives. And that's the hope that we see. Those are the lights that are coming on through millions of people throughout the country. And I'll take it. I'll take it. America is not on her deathbed. We are in a nightmare. And the good news about nightmares is that everybody wakes up from them.
Amen to that. Well, our ACN listeners, those of you on the American Christian Network on terrestrial radio, that has been Doug Billings. You can find him at dougbillings.us. You also can find him just type in Doug, DOUGBILLINGS, any podcast forum, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, you're going to find him. Please subscribe right now. Click that subscribe button. And for our Facebook listeners and all of our Rumble listeners, we're going to continue. If you would like to hear the rest of this episode, please check us out at Church and State 1776 on any podcast platform, or either check us out at Facebook or rumble.com. Church and State is brought to you in part by the Patriot Church and also by the Constitution Party. I am Pastor Gabe Blomgren, and a calm does not suit me. All right, we're continuing on. This is part two. We're gonna walk lock and step into the nature of this new beast. That if Chris, you could highlight this article, and you know, Christianity says, you know, when did I clothe you? When did I feed you? When, you know, when I was in prison or when I needed it, you know, true religion is this, helping a widow and orphan in need. So this subject, even though, you know, I am a bleeding heart, I don't know what to do. Immigration. It is such a hotbed, a conversation piece right now, because Gallup poll has just come out with an article saying immigration surges the top most important problem list since 2019. It has surged in the last month, Doug, from 20% to 28%. Americans have now superseded inflation, immigration, the economy, even war. This is not as important as immigration. And man, Trump would really win the election if we could somehow get the immigrant vote. 6 million people have recently, in just this year alone, that's the whole entire state of New Hampshire, has come in through the border this year alone. Imagine if we could get that voting base. That tempts me, but that's like, that's not what we're here. Give me your tired, hungry masses was what was said at, you know, in the Bronx there under the Statue of Liberty. Should we move the Statue of Liberty and put it right there, down there in the middle of the Rio Grande where people are drowning on the regular? This is asinine, and it's sad. It breaks my heart. What do we do as Christians? Because it's like you see people going down there right now. There's good old fashioned Americans who are going down there and thinking of starting militias to try to kill people. It's getting so far out of control that there are people who are thinking about taking arms and killing innocent women and children, which this is, I do not advocate, but I do advocate what Greg Abbott's doing. But it's kind of gone quiet. Is there something coming? Because it all feels like there's a rumbling right now. 28% of Americans are concerned about this. What do you think's happening? What will happen, Doug?
Yeah, I think that this is an important issue, and there's so much there to unpack. It's first of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is purposeful. This border crisis is not an accident. It's purposeful. Trump had not only executive orders in place when he left office, but he had Mexico supplying troops and keeping people on their side of the border and so forth and so on, many more things. But Biden, day one, begins to eliminate all of these protections. We see these immigrants. I used to chuckle at Greg Abbott when he would bus these illegals up to New York or to Chicago or whatever. I got a big kick out of that. I thought that was kind of funny. Serves you right. You're a sanctuary city. Now you take care of them. But now I'm pulling back on that and thinking, no, let's stop. We got to stop doing that because it's exacerbating the problem. It's sending these migrants all over the country, dumping them off. I've seen videos in California of them landing on the beachheads in these rubber boats that look like military-style, you know, boats. And they just land, and 15 or 20 or 30 of them just get off and start running towards, you know, the apartment complexes or whatever. And they're just coming in unfettered and unvetted. Bring me the huddled masses and that yearn for freedom, sure. But there's a process. We have to vet these people. We have to understand who they are and what they're doing. And this quietness that you sense, Gabe, I think, and I, again, I don't want to instill panic or fear in anybody, but we've got to face the truth. There are people here as a result of these open border policies that are here to hurt us. And to deny that and to not talk about it would be irresponsible. They're planning to do us harm. Now, the fentanyl drugs already is hurting us, but I'm talking about domestic terror attacks. And I can tell you, having been to Mar-a-Lago a few times at least, that's part of the discussion. And they seem to think that schools will be targeted, hostages taken, and people in harm's way with regards to people who are not exactly and obviously don't like us. That's one example. We've got to be awake to all of that. We've got to make sure that we're prepared. The scary thing is, and it's so scary, prior to starting my show, when I was in corporate America, I had the opportunity for business trips to go to Germany, was in Spain, France. And I can tell you that because of their immigration problems that they've had through the decades, Germany and France especially have no sense of national identity anymore because there's too many migrants and immigrants in there all clamoring for the same idea. They want their identity. Right. And you can see it now in America, especially in cities like Detroit, where the Muslim community is rising up against Israel and have protests and so forth and so on, and they're controlling the electorate and the common grassroots local politics movement in Detroit and in Michigan, and you can see it begin to happen. So that's very frightening. Our American identity, our American nationalism is under attack, and it's in danger of being whitewashed or eliminated altogether with this unfettered access of immigrants. So we've got to get it under control. We must get it. It's a moral imperative for us as a nation to get this under control. And Trump has said when he's in office, when he wins, that you're going to see the biggest, largest,
deportation,
most expansive deportation, event in the history of our country. And I hope that, you know, he's right. And I have a sense that our mutual friend, General Flynn, will head up what I've And I've talked with Flynn about it. Now, Flynn doesn't confirm or deny anything, of course, but I have said to him, I said, you should start a department called the Department of Accountability, mm-hmm. and you should gut, purge, and cleanse the Department of Justice, the FBI, CIA, of course, underneath that umbrella, and this Department of Homeland Security, and get it under control. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he does something like that, if he's part of that administration.
Recently, to tag on to that, I love General Flynn. He's going to be coming to Spokane, Washington, and talking about human trafficking and the nature of that beast. He and many others have, you know, recently been highlighting in Georgia this young lady who passed away, a nurse. She was killed by an illegal immigrant. And I use that term illegal immigrant because it offends people. When you say that word illegal rather than just immigrant, it really offends people because that's the truth. I'm actually a third generation American. My grandfather, who served in World War II, his father brought him to the United States legally. Okay. And my grandfather spoke fluent Spanish. So when he served in the war, he not only spoke Spanish, but he spoke full German because he was raised by a German family. And my grandfather, you know, he came into the country legally. What we have now is completely illegal. And of course they get money too. So much money. It's kind of obscene. We're hearing people testify on the line there. They're interviewing them and they giggle and laugh and they're asked in broken English. They say, we're here for money. It kills me. But we, in this Georgia case, there's a local municipality that is toying around with the idea. They're trying to pass legislation that would allow them to literally take door to door as sheriffs, interpose our interposition, go and find them in this area and get like detain them. So the left is freaking out right now. They're saying this is so racist. And of course you have people who are on, you know, Latino side who are freaking out as well. People could get hurt. You know, if we don't see anything happen as a physical threat, you know, we don't see a school shot up, there's the possibility that we're going to see people get hurt, innocent people. You know, is it wrong for municipalities to detain people? Is it wrong for a sheriff to start doing this? Because the people have had enough. They're fed up.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's no, it's not. It is, we are doing our due diligence and our duty as American citizens to protect our country. Look, the person that we detain, if it turns out that they're a legal resident, they're here following the processes, we let them go. We follow the law. We cannot, on the one hand, we can't talk about the value of human life in terms of abortion, for example, and have at the same time a conversation that lets millions of unfettered and undocumented people come in, putting other lives at risk, putting other humans at risk. Native Americans, not just the Indians, but I mean human beings, people like you and me, who are United States citizens at risk of losing job and losing sustenance because these jobs are being handed off and given, and the benefits and the money giving to these. There's a moral issue there that we could unpack, but that I do not think that the intent of the founders, the intent of brilliant people. I don't think that the final outcome of the Civil War was to just say, hey, come on in, everybody. Come on in. America is free game for everybody. Let the gates open and come on in. That's absolutely ridiculous. Nobody in their right mind believes that. Nobody believes that's the way it's supposed to be. Again, the nefarious nature of what this administration is doing, this coalition of immorality, opening up the borders to dilute the American national population into becoming this conglomeration of anybody but Americans and anybody but the American national identity is I'm going to say sinful. I mean, yeah. It is absolutely sinful what they're doing. And I think that the good news, of course, in all of that, this nightmare that we're in, the worse it gets causes more people to wake up. And I can promise you, Gabe, on the streets of America, John and Jane Doe, who voted for Biden, have woken up and they're saying, by the millions, this is happening.
Right.
This is not what I signed up for.
Right.
And they're coming to our side.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Apart from arming yourself and being prepared for some type of event that involves a Walmart, a school, a mall with an illegal immigrant, there's been video of people, what they describe as Islamic of nature, going into Walmarts with cams on their shoulders and starting altercations and just kind of like almost like testing the lines, so to speak, seeing how far they can push the envelope. You know, apart from being armed, what can we do? What are you telling your listeners physically they can do? Pray, obviously, but what can we do at this surge of immigration?
Yeah, this is a great question, and it's going to take four virtues for us to persevere through all of this. So I tell my listeners, as conservatives, okay, notice I just took a deep breath. We take a deep breath and we engage in the process at our local levels. Now, before that, I want you all to go to, I in the very next room over here in my house, I have a prayer room. I have a place where I go and I journal and I pray. It's my special place where I go and I talk with the Lord. I write down, I journal a lot. I write about where I see the hand of God in my life. Every New Year's Eve, my tradition is not to go out and party, but to reread that year's journal to see back through the previous year where God had entered my life. I encourage everybody to do that. And while you do that, you pray for these four virtues. First of all, the virtue of wisdom with a capital W from the Holy Spirit. Pray for it. Pray that you see wisdom. And when you look at the scope and the state of play in America, pray that you can see it through the eyes of wisdom. And then when you do that, you take a time to engage in the second virtue, reflection, not reaction. That's what the radical left does. When they don't get their way or when something happens they don't like, they have pallets of bricks and rocks delivered to downtown street corners to throw through windows, right? And they riot. And we saw it in 2016 when Trump won. And I probably have a little bit of a it's probably not a good thing, but I look back at those tapes and I rather enjoy watching the meltdowns of the radical left when they're crying and screaming because they've never been taught how to handle adversity, challenge, and tragedy. So we reflect as conservatives what wisdom teaches us. And then we take action, the third virtue. We take action, not violent action, but action primarily, I suggest to you, at the local level. Get involved. School boards, county commissions, be a Republican committee man or woman. Those have great strings of power associated with who gets the presidential nomination in each state. So look into that. City alderman, your mayor, if you're brave and bold enough, your state senate, your state congress, look into getting involved or helping people who are involved in those things. And then finally, the fourth virtue, probably the most important other than wisdom, is patience. Pray for the virtue of patience. We did not get into this mess overnight. I mentioned earlier, it's been 126 years.
Right.
And that's not a number I'm grabbing out of midair. 1897, the Rockefeller family, the Dewey family, the Carnegie family, they were massively wealthy. And they've started these foundations. They were all, by the way, avowed socialists. That's not my opinion. That's a matter of fact. And they began to take, you know, universities and educational systems hostage by virtue of their money. Hey, if you want our money, you're going to have to adopt our socialist curriculums within your schools. And so they did, and they began incrementally to take control of schools, media, entertainment. You know all of this. So wisdom, reflection, action, and patience. That's how we take the country back. And we get involved in our local levels and we make it happen. Now, I'm not suggesting it's going to take us 126 years to do this. We happen to be not only better looking, but smarter than liberals. and we can act smarter and do smart and be smarter in our approach. And by the way, our side naturally draws people to it, even if they don't think they're conservative. They're drawn to us.
Right.
The very virtue that we're sacramental in our approach to life, that we believe in life, that we believe that rights come from God, that we believe that we can build people up by pointing out truths about the LGBTQ coalition of immorality, about abortion, about the very approach to these domestic problems that we have. We draw people to us, and I will point to you to these polls that continue to spell out how multiple millions of people are coming, at least in this presidential cycle, to the Republican side, because what they see is not what they've signed up for. So in all of that, Gabe, again, I see great hope. I see America rising up from this. We are not on our deathbed. We have to give ourselves permission to believe this and to buy into it and get involved at the local level. That's the countermeasure to what's being thrust upon us.
I love that. Wisdom, reflection, action, reflection, and patience. Yep. I love that. An acronym there, WRAP. I can see that. Wrap your brain around that. Okay. Get wisdom. And the Bible says, if you ask for it, he gives liberally. Okay. There's very few times the Bible uses the words liberal. That's one of them. You ask for wisdom, God gives it liberally. So yeah, very well said. Let me ask you this. We've got about 10 minutes left. We can either talk about Elon Musk, AI, all that stuff. There's an AI that has recently given itself omniscience. It said it out loud or by text. It believes itself to be omniscient. Or we can talk about, we see right now, we are down to days. Is there anything we can do? One thing that's problematic is we could talk about the election. So many people have checked out. We tell people on a regular basis, this is not the time, you know, to stop voting. This is not the time to give up, because we could actually win if everyone showed up in such crazy numbers, insane numbers. They cannot cheat. And it's hard for people to wrap their mind around that, because they think we are taken. And in a lot of ways we are, but it is still winnable. But it is only winnable if we all show up in numbers. And I'm talking insane numbers. And don't put up with games like big poster boards over the polling centers. No. We're not going to play that game this time. So what do you
think? Yeah, I like that. I think there's a lot to talk about there. And I think it's, although AI is important, I think that this election cycle is what is the most important issue that we're facing as a republic, the border and all of that, part of this election cycle that I'm talking about. So yes, to your point, you know, Gabe, look, when Trump, I believe, and I don't know if I can say this on your show, and I don't want to get you guys canceled, but I think there was election fraud, okay? Right. I personally believe that. I think there is election fraud, not just in 2020, but there's been election fraud in multiple other elections. I mean, all across the board and from both sides. When 2020 happened, so many people on our side said, that's it, I'm done, I'm never going to vote again. It's a rigged system.
I give up on this party.
And the mantra, fix 2020 or bust, as if we can't move forward, we've got to, I understand it. First of all, I understand that frustration. I'm not making fun of the fact that these people are angry that 2020 was taken from them. I honor that and I respect it. However, let me say this. We are a people that believe our rights come from God. I think we can all agree to that. Every conservative out there would agree. I don't believe that we honor God by abandoning the rights that he's provided us. And by the way, we don't honor the military men and women who have gone to the battlefield and died to protect our rights that come from God. So yes, I will engage and I will vote every time. We never back down as conservatives. We never give up. This is exactly what distinguishes us from the liberals who have never been taught how to handle adversity, challenge, or tragedy. And when you do that, when you see this adversity, this challenge, and these tragedies that have purposefully been cast upon us, and you work your way through them, that is the key to finding wonder, joy, and meaning in this life. That's what we, that's the only way to it. Wonder, joy, and meaning just doesn't fall out of the sky and land in your lap. You've got to work for it and you've got to achieve it. And this is what the left does not understand. It doesn't compute. They have this sense of entitlement, which has been promised to them by the radical left, which is the party of slavery, and which is yet another way in which they keep people enslaved to free stuff. Don't worry, we'll take care of you during COVID. You don't have to work, we'll pay for you. Right. And now you can't get anybody to go back to work on that side, because they feel so entitled. It is slavery. So the answer to the question is, we never give up our right to vote, because that right comes to us from God. We do not honor God by abandoning the rights that he's given us. We, in fact, do the opposite and engage more fully in our rights that come to us from God. Our right to speak up, our right to speak truth, our right to gather, our right to run for office. This is the very recipe by which we will save the country. And we have got to realize this. We, by virtue of all of those things, draw untold millions, because when we say it, people follow. And it's not an ego statement. That is not an ego statement. When we say these things, when we speak of wonder and joy and meaning in life, and we show them how to achieve it, that's a natural draw. And it's a holy endeavor. And it's blessed. and we can bless people by showing them that truth. Always vote, and don't listen. People on our side, who might have been tempted not to vote, you've got to come in off that ledge of falsehood. You've got to come back into the fold of true wonder, joy, meaning, and hope, and what this republic was designed to do. Your vote always matters, and it always counts, even in a system where there is fraud. You've got to believe that. Gosh, it's so important, Gabe, to get that message out and inspire people with hope to get out and vote and get involved in their local levels.
Well, I'm going to applaud one more time, because I'm telling you, man, people are forgetting that somebody died for that right. Somebody died for that. So as we're winding down, I just want to remind people, you are one of my favorite speakers on the Reawaken America tour. Are you going to be at the Showdown in Motown? Are you going to be in Detroit?
I will. I couldn't miss it. It's going to be the last one, of the Reawaken.
This
I hope
is the final. We will be there. We're actually going to be speaking. We're not going to be speaking as long as you, but I guarantee you we're going to be every ounce of our American hot-blooded selves. Caleb and I will be shouting from the rooftops. But those of you who want to get tickets, come to Detroit. And it's so cool that we're in a city that seems to be taken, but there's a lot of good conservative people there in Detroit. And I think it's actually good that we're going to be there right, you know, before the election. So if you want to go to Time to Free America, Church of State listeners, there's still tickets available. Clay Clark, their tour offers name your own price seats. So go there, book your tickets, hotel stay, come see Doug, come see everyone, including Amanda Grace. You know, I know the Trumps probably will be there. There could be the possibility that, you know, number 45 could be there, because we're down to the wire. Obviously, when they had an event at Mar-a-Lago, he was there. One of the great events in Las Vegas included Alex Jones. But, you know, it would be really cool if he showed up in Detroit. Wouldn't that be phenomenal?
That would be awesome. Yeah, and I think that's within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. So June 7th and 8th, Sterling Heights. It's very cool. My middle name is Sterling. So there's all kinds of cool stuff going down.
Right.
But where can we, you know, really connect people? We got about 3 more minutes, maybe 2 minutes left. You have so many podcasts, but episodes. I guarantee you people will be so blessed. Your website, what have you been talking about recently? And you know, what are some of the things that you can connect people with right now?
Yeah, thank you, Gabe. First of all, thank you. Thank you for your mission of faith and of truth, for this, for all you do for our republic. You and Caleb both, I really do count you among the most, I think, I don't want to use the word effective, although you're effective, but I mean, I think you're one of the most important shows out there, and I just really thank you for what you're doing. It's because of people like you that we're going to win this thing. You know, my website is dougbillings.us. I usually always tell people to go there first, and then they can kind of look through, and if you want to watch the show on video, if you're that kind of person, there's certainly that opportunity. Most people like to listen to it, and so they'll find whatever podcast platform they like, and they can enter in Doug Billings, the right side with Doug Billings or whatever, and they'll find it. The website has ways that they can support us. If they like the show, they can click at the top of the page on the support tab and prayerfully consider a donation so that we can continue to produce the show and bring it out to people. We never charge for the show. The show is always free, so we always depend on the generosity of the audience. And there's also news articles and so forth over there that go a little bit deeper in some respects than an hour-long show can go. But dougbillings.us is where we usually direct people. Other than that, you can find us on any podcast platform, really, and we would appreciate that as well. So we talk about all of these things that we've talked about today. Basically, my show, is my commentary on the state of play in America. And we try to talk about that. And I'll end with this. I want to thank you for the Rush Limbaugh comment at the beginning of the show. I hear that. There will never be another Rush, but it's always flattering to be mentioned in in the same sentence as he. So thank you for that.
Well, you get people wound up. You know, such a great speaker, but you always have a solution. That's the difference between you and Rush. Rush's solutions were very earthbound. And God bless him. I hope he's in heaven. But your solutions are very, very off this terrestrial plane and into heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is here, and it's here now, and it's in your life. And I appreciate you. And I honor your Catholic background, and thank you for being on the show. Those of you who've been with us, this is Doug Billings, just a huge man of God and leader in this fight. And I pray after this election, there will be a kingdom for me and Caleb, us younger bucks, to actually have, and to a plane for us to continue to follow you as you go. So I really appreciate your leadership, and thank you. Thank you so much for just being there for Caleb and I. We honor you.
Thank you. You're welcome. We're in this together.
Thank you. Well, Church and State is brought to you by Patriot Church and also by the Constitution Party. I am Pastor Gabe Blomgren, and a calm does not suit me.
Welcome to the fire.
The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe even a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together, and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver, because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to bh-pm.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to bh-pm.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry. Your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a two-for-one there. You know you've wanted a good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Church and State.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been then processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code Church and State. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Hello, everybody. It's an honor to be with you.